Well, I remember for me when the switch flipped, right? Here's what I'm talking about. It's first day, seventh grade, first period. I come into science class. You know, in science class, they have the lab tables. I'm sitting next to Kelly Heimbaugh. And the switch flipped. Oh, I had crushes before, like little ones, you know, in sixth grade. And even before that as a little kid, but something happened. And that switch flipped, and it was more than just a crush, right? I guess something had happened that summer. I don't know. I graduated sixth grade a boy and entered seventh grade a man. I don't know. Something happened, but a switch flipped, and I was sitting next to the love of my life. No, but it felt like it at the time. And so here's what happened. Kelly, you know, I'm just so nervous, which is a shock to you guys, I'm sure. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, the announcements come on, and Coach Jarrett comes on, and he's like, hey, anybody interested in cross country, come to a meeting after school today. I know a lot of you guys have heard this. But Kelly goes, I love cross country. And I said, oh, me too. Honestly, no idea what it was. I thought it was a geography thing. I was like, I'm going to kill this and impress the heck out of this girl with geography knowledge. But it turns out it's running lots of miles. And so I ran cross country that year and did not do well. Also did not get the girl. But the truth is, Kelly could have said anything. She could have said, I love playing the jazz saxophone. And I'd be like, oh, me too. And it wouldn't have mattered. Because my feelings, man, they were committed. I was feeling those feelings. I don't know what to do with them. So I just followed them wherever they led me. Wherever that would have been. And so why am I telling you this? Because I didn't have a plan for my feelings. I don't know what to do with them. And that led me to a little bit of trouble and a lot of hardship. Waking up at 5:30 every morning and running lots of miles. But it can also lead to some other hardship if we're not careful. And so today, we're starting a dating series. Now, some of you guys are like, what? A dating series? Are you kidding me? What in the world are we doing? Starting a dating series? Well, we are. And here's why. I want to answer those questions. I want to answer that question. Why are we starting a dating series? And it's going to go 3 weeks. And I'm opening up. They brought in the love doctor this week. No. And here's why we're doing it. One is because it's a reality for some of you. The switch is already flipped. I know it has, right? The switch is already flipped. You're feeling those same feelings. You'd be ready to run cross country for a girl or a boy, right? For some of you, for most of you, it will become a reality. The switch will flip at some point. So we want to equip you guys on, hey, what do I do with that? And then also, we want to apply Scripture as the filter for our whole life. Now remember, Scripture is not this book of do this and don't do this. It's a story of how God paid to have a relationship with us. He created us to live a certain way, and we said, no, we're going to go our own way, and that's called sin. And so because of that, there's a gap in our relationship, and we cannot have a relationship with God because of our sin, because he is holy and good and perfect, and we're none of those things. And so he sent his son, Jesus, and he promised him from the very beginning, and all throughout the Old Testament, he's saying, hey, I'm sending a boy. He's going to make everything right. And Jesus comes, and that boy becomes a man, and he dies on the cross, even though he lived a sinless life, and he paid for our sin, and then he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead so that we might have life with God and a relationship with him, and that our eternity is secure. But along with that, Scripture also talks about, hey, here is the way God designed us to live. And so we do want to apply that as a filter for our life, not so that God will approve us or love us more, but because he already does, and we want more of him. And we want to live and walk in a way that we can experience God the most and have deep relationship with him. All right? And so Scripture is a filter for our whole life in that regard. How many of you guys ever take a picture on your phone that you're going to post to Instagram and you make sure to put a filter on there first? Some of you, okay, like three of you? Okay, some of you. Well, as you get older, right? You want to use filters more and more, right? Because they cover up that thing called age, you know, that gets wrinkles or like bags under your eyes, you know, when you're like, oh, I didn't sleep very much, or I cut myself shaving and it's like squirting out blood. Let me put a filter on that. Filters, right, make a photo look different. But here's what you do in a filter. You cover the whole picture. So, for example, here's a picture of Watermark Church. Now, here's another picture with a filter on it. Actually, it's four different filters on each part of those pictures. How weird does that picture look? It looks super weird. Maybe a little artsy, but that's not what we're going for. That's not the point of the illustration. Is because you would not just show this, like, you would not put four different filters and say, hey, for this part, I'm going to put this filter. For this part, I'm going to put this filter. And so our lives are the same way. We can't say, hey, I'm going to let the Bible define how I live in this part of my life. But in this part, I'm going to define how I want it. Or I'm going to let what other people say or what TV or movies or YouTube videos say, I'm going to let that define it at this point. No, Scripture is the filter for our whole life, including dating, right? And relationships and all those things. And so that's why we're talking about it. And so this series is called Check Yes or No. And so here's the question for today that I want to ask. Are you going to act on your feelings in the same way everyone else is acting on their feelings? See, when I was a kid, we used to send notes to each other in class because we didn't have cell phones, really. My first cell phone was when I was 16. And it was a lower quality cell phone than most of you guys are using, even those guys in my small group that are using flip phones. So what we would do is we would send notes and like, hey, does so-and-so like me? Check yes or no, right? And so that's kind of the heartbeat of the theme or where we're going there. But what I want you to answer today is yes or no, of just to yourself, obviously. Are you going to act on your feelings in the same way everyone else is acting on their feelings? So here's the deal. Most people don't have a plan for acting on their feelings. But you have a plan for almost everything in your life. You have a plan for academics. This country has a plan for academics. At 5 years old or 6 years old, you're going to go into kindergarten. Your mom's going to pack your lunch and your Captain Planet lunchbox. If you were into kindergarten in 1991, now it would be your Captain America lunchbox. And you're going to stay in school all for 12 years, 13 years, I guess, if you count kindergarten, and you're going to graduate high school. And that's going to be your academics. If you want, you can still go on to college. Maybe you go on to grad school. You go to even more school if you want to become a doctor, all that stuff. Or if you just love school, good luck to you. So you have a plan for academics. You have a plan for athletics. Hey, I want to really get stronger in my upper body strength because I'm just getting just pummeled by those offensive linemen. And so I'm going to really work out my arms a lot. I'm going to work out my chest. I'm going to try to get my core strong this offseason. Next year in football season, I'm going to be a lot stronger and I can go toe-to-toe with those offensive linemen. You have a plan for learning an instrument. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to learn how to read music. I'm going to learn the scales. I'm going to learn three blind mice on the recorder in fourth grade. And then I'm going to work my way up to where I'm playing all kinds of stuff. You have a plan for how you're going to do stuff. But a lot of people don't have a plan for acting on their feelings. And I didn't either. And I ended up doing cross country and a lot of other things. And so when it comes to your feelings, a lot of people just like, hey, just do whatever feels right. Follow your heart. Do what everyone else is doing, what everyone else tells you to do. Whatever looks good in the latest movie or sounds good in the latest song. And that, it's not a good plan. And so here's what I want you to know is that God has a plan for your feelings. Now, look, you know what does not sound romantic? Have a plan for your feelings, right? You sound like your dad talking to you, right? But here's the point. If God has a plan for your feelings, does that make him lame? Does that make him unromantic? So we're going to explore that. Right, and there's this book called Song of Solomon. It's towards the middle of your Bible. It's right after Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. It's right after that. So you can go ahead and open up to there if you want. And it's about a love story between Solomon and his true love. and it tracks their relationship from like the beginning attraction to marriage to struggles to happily ever after. It covers all kinds of phases of their relationship. But it's an ideal relationship between Solomon and this woman that's a Shulamite woman. And it's amazing and deep, and it could rival any story on screen that you might see, but it's usually overlooked. And so we're going to take a look at some pieces from that today, from Song of Solomon, and we're going to point out a couple different things about God's plan for your feelings. I think you're going to be surprised what you see in there and how it relates to you as a junior high student, all right? So first place we're going to go is chapter 2, Song of Solomon. Sometimes you'll see it as Song of Songs, chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. And this is Solomon talking to the woman and the woman talking to Solomon. And he says, as a lily among brambles, so is my love among the young women. It's a good line, if you know what brambles are. As an apple tree among the trees of the forest, so is my beloved among the young men. And so he is saying, she, out of everybody, she's awesome. She is better. She rises above. And she says that about him. Hey, out of the apple tree among the trees of the forest, someone that gives root and life, and that is my man, my boo, my bae, right? That's what they're saying. Now, that sounds pretty romantic. That sounds, honestly, a little more romantic than maybe even junior high or high school where you're like, hey, my mom said she could take us to go see, the newest Thor movie. How about that, right? So now check this out. This is from different places, right? It says, let him kiss. This is all of Song of Solomon. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfume. How beautiful are you, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. Your eyes, your hair, your teeth, your lips, your neck. Your lips drop sweetness as the honeycomb, my bride. Milk and honey are under your tongue. Stop. That's too much. Too much. That's all in the Bible. That is all in the Bible, all right? That wasn't in the Usher song, right? That's in the Bible, all right? And so we read that, and we're like even a little uncomfortable. I'm a little uncomfortable reading that to junior high kids, to be honest. But it's in the Bible. And so what do we see there? We see that God is for feelings. He's for feelings. Relationships between guys and a girl, between a guy and a girl, is not a bad thing. These two people, they were not shy about how they felt about each other, right? Like an apple tree among the trees of the forest. That's my man. They were not shy. He's like, honey is under your tongue. What? No, they were not shy about how they felt about each other. And there's a lot of detail and like almost awkwardly so in Song of Solomon. And so what can we take from that? We can take that God is for feelings. It sends us a really clear message. God is all for feelings between guys and girls. He's for those affections and those feelings growing between them. He created it for us as a good thing. Remember, God created Adam and then he created Eve because he said, it's not good for you to be alone. Here's Eve. And he's like, hello. He named her woman. That means mine, right? And he's like, she mine, right? He's like, aardvark, that's fine. Rhinoceros, that's fine. She's mine, right? That was the name that he gave her. And so God is for feelings. God celebrates the love between a man and a woman. So let's not think that God is not for those feelings, right? Those feelings that I felt when I was like, I will run lots of miles for you, Kelly. God's for those. He's for those feelings. But here's the next thing that we see in Song of Solomon. We're going to read three different pieces of scripture from Song of Solomon all in a row. All right? Here's the first one. Daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you by the gazelles and by the does of the field, do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. All right? Here's the second one. It says, promise me, O women of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and wild deer, not to awaken love until the time is right. And the third one says this, daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you, do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. Other translations might say, until the time is right. All right? And so we see that, and that's three different times in Song of Solomon that God goes, hey guys, hey, I charge you, do not arouse or awaken love until the time's right. So we know God is for feelings, and then we see this. Well, does that mean he's not for feelings anymore? Well, no. Here's what it means, is that God has set a time and a place for acting on our feelings. And so if you look carefully at the story and you read the whole thing, the love of the couple is not truly and fully celebrated until the commitment is made, until they're both able to say, hey, I'm in it for the long haul. Right? And as they get to know each other and they start, quote unquote, dating, then a lot of strong feelings come up between them, between Solomon and this woman. And when emotion starts stirring, and when they're like, hey, I'm really digging you, she's really digging my chili, here we go, God has to say, whoa. Hey, I'm all for that, but wait till the time is right. There's a time and a place for acting on our feelings. And so this is the warning message for you guys and you girls. This is where you fit in the story. Don't get yourself all fired up about someone unless you're ready for the real deal, right? In it for the long haul. Ready to commit to somebody for the rest of your life. Okay, and that's the warning that God has for us and the warning that he has for you. You see God's point of view towards feelings, right? It's not to be hated. Feelings are not to be thought of as evil. It's good and right. Feelings are good and right, but only in the context with which God has planned it. That context is marriage, right? That a man and a woman could come together and say, hey, I am committing to you forever. Right? What do they say in a vow? For better or for worse, right? For richer, for poorer, till death do us part. They say, I am committing to be your husband, or I'm committing to be your wife till death do us part. No matter in hard times or good times or easy times, if one of us is sick, if one of us makes mistakes, if one of us, if we're really poor, if we have a lot of money, no matter what, I'm committing to you till death do us part. And that's when, and when that commitment's made in Song of Solomon, that's when that couple's feelings are truly, truly celebrated. And that's the time and the place for acting on our feelings. And so what do we need to do? Here's my warning, and Scripture's warning, is take it slow. Right? You guys are in 6th and 7th and 8th grade, right? So does God think of feelings for the other gender as normal? Yes. Strong feelings even. Is that couple, that passionate couple, are they condemned? Are their hands slapped? Are they said, stop this right now for their desires? No. The passion is normal and right, but the time's not right. Right? So those feelings, right, those aren't bad, but the time in place might not be right. And chances are it's probably not right when you're in 6th, 7th, 8th grade. How many of you guys are ready to get married right now? Yeah. All right. One guy. So that's the hard part, right? That is the really hard part. Your interest and your feelings, just like the feelings I felt, like the feelings I'm guessing and I probably know most of you guys feel, those are really normal, okay? The feelings that you feel towards the opposite gender are very normal. But take it slow until you're ready to be married, right? And use a lot of wisdom. Use a lot of wisdom until the time and the place are right and match your feelings. So, you know, I told you guys that story of me running cross country for Kelly. And like I said, it didn't work out, right?
That was why.
Because she said no. That's why. And so, here's the deal, though. That led to a funny story. I've done a lot of things. I didn't really learn my lesson. And I kept following my feelings without having a plan for them for a really long time. Years, because I wanted it so bad. I said, oh, these feelings in me, I love the way they feel, and I want someone that's going to just come along and complete those feelings, and it's going to be like just the most romantic movie you've ever seen, and we're going to live happily ever after. It's going to be perfect. And I chased those feelings for a long time without any plan for them or really any like trusting of God with those. I mean, we're talking like 10 to 15 years almost. And so just as I was thinking just now, I wrote down some of the things that I did in my life to chase the feelings that I had to be in a relationship with a girl, right? And so here's some. I sang in a concert once. I ran cross country. I pretended to like country music. I went on a trip around the world. I embarrassed myself ice skating. I watched a lot of boring movies. I dressed like a cowboy for a season. I wore a Peter Pan costume one time with tights. Spent way too much money. And you know what else I did? Was I rejected friends. And I rejected even what God would say about, hey, this is the way you should treat a girl. And or the way you should view a girl, even. Because I was only concerned about my feelings. Right? I want to be in that perfect relationship. And all of those things I did for girls that are not going to be my wife. And some of them make really funny stories. And some of them make really heartbreaking stories. And so that is my warning to you, is that don't chase those feelings. Man, use Scripture as the filter for your life. And what am I going to do with those feelings? Because there's a lot of things that if I could go back and change, I would, or go back to Sean 10 years ago, 5 years ago, heck, 3 years ago, I would say, whoa, 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 buddy. You are chasing feelings without understanding God's plan for them. And that is going to lead you to a place where there's going to be a lot of hurt. Sometimes for you, almost always for the girl, and even sometimes with other people involved. I moved to Dallas for a girl. And not the girl that's going to be my wife. And so it took a really long time for me to learn this truth and this message of God has a plan for your feelings. And his plan, I know it's going to shock you, but his plan is best, right? And for so long, I was like, I would say, hey, I know God's plan is best. But inside, I'd be like, my plan is best for this. And it took me a long time to figure that out. And the Lord had to break me through a lot of different things and a lot of hard times and a lot of hurt I caused other people. But I can stand here and tell you now that God's plan for your feelings, and that's the best plan. I'm getting married in 19 days. I know. Can't wait. And I've always loved like the you are fired up for me. Thank you, buddy. Come on. I need a DJ. You're in. And so I always joke. I love love. Like I love the romantic stuff. And I did so much romantic stuff for girls that were never my wife because I just chased feelings. And then finally I got to propose, right? And so we'll cycle through some pictures here just to get the awes, right? So surprise, this is a Brit right there. There's us. Yeah, yeah. Keep going. We can just keep cycling through. There it is. H for Hill. There's us. And then this is me proposing to her. And look at that. And I'm like, hey, let me tell you guys something. I had been waiting for this moment for like, let's see, how old was I in seventh grade? I don't know, 14? No, 13. Somewhere at 12. So I don't know. I can't do math. So I've been waiting for this for like 17 years, right? For this moment. And And I thought it would happen so much sooner, but I was just chasing my feelings, right? Until I finally was like, Lord, your plan's best. Then I never really did it right until then. And it was never as good as this moment was, and as my relationship with Emily has been. Hold on a second, though. Here's what I want to tell you. That doesn't mean, though, let me just be really honest with you. That just doesn't mean, like, hey, if you just trust the Lord, he's going to give you a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a husband or a wife. No, he's enough in all of it. And I learned that he would have been enough if I would have been single for the rest of my life, right? And so I want to make sure that point's clear. But I also want to make sure and say, hey, I've done a lot of crazy things because I wanted to be in a relationship with a girl. And when I finally did it God's way, it was the best. And I promise you, I'm not just saying that. And that's entirely true. And I have more fun with Emily. And our relationship is much better than it was with any other girl. In fact, I proposed to her again like a couple months ago. She was coming home from a Watermark trip from Haiti, and so I made this sign. I had the ring, and I held it up in the baggage claim as a joke, like just and the whole baggage claim thought we were actually getting engaged, and it was so funny. And hey, I say that, one, because it's kind of funny, but two, because, like, I've had more joy by doing the relationship God's way than my way and all the other relationships. Emily and I actually dated and then broke up because the first time I was trying to do it my way and I didn't have a plan for my feelings. The second, and then that was finally when the God was like, all right, buddy, hey, you got to trust me. And I did, and I'll tell you, it's been awesome. And so, guys, please trust me that God's plan for your feelings is the best plan, even though you're like, I would follow that girl anywhere, or I'd follow that boy anywhere, or there's no one better than him. He's the apple tree, right? Hey, trust me. Follow God's plan for your feelings. He has four feelings. He's four feelings, but he's got a time and a place. And so go back to that question in the very beginning. Are you going to act on your feelings in the same way that everyone else is acting on their feelings? Or will you try to follow God's plan for your feelings? So you're going to have some really good discussion in your small group this week about those very questions. So let me pray for us as we close. God, your way is best. And God, I am so thankful that you have been so patient and yet also relentless in teaching me that your way is best. And God, I ask that you would show that to these students. God, that you are for feelings. Now, you make that really clear in Song of Solomon as he and the woman are just so detailed and open about the way that they feel about each other. And you celebrate that, Lord, but not truly until the time is right. So, Lord, I pray that, Lord, as we trust you with our feelings, God, that you would continue to show us that your way is great. That your way is best. And Lord, that you would help us to trust you. God, that we would trust your plan for our feelings. Even though the world is going to tell us differently, even though everybody else in our school is going to be doing it differently, God, will you show us that your way is best? Lord, the best place to watch, to have a firework explode is in the air when you can see it. And Lord, the worst place is when it's in your hand and it explodes. And Lord, I pray that we would view our feelings as that, Lord, that if we are not careful and we don't trust your plan, Lord, that it can be really, really dangerous and really hard and hurtful. And so Lord, help us to trust you knowing that you're best. Lord, we ask this knowing that it's by your grace alone, it's for your glory, and it's for our good. And we ask this in your name. Amen.